All right. Thank you guys, as always, for listening to the Pints and Polishing podcast. This is a really cool episode because we wanted to target two different detailers that are trying to launch, trying to start. What do I do? I want to be doing more detailing. You know, actually, we had a guy actually in the warehouse the other day who he's working for a major company, and he came in and bought some coatings, bought a couple things because he is trying to. He just said, if I can get just a couple more people, then I can leave my job and go detail.
Nice.
So we want to do an episode on how do you start? How do you get the ball rolling? You're passionate about what you want to do. How do you get it rolling? And we have an amazing beer on.
Yeah, Shipyard. Like,
pumpkin. Shipyard's the brand. It's Pumpkinhead is the actual beer. It's a pumpkin. A lot of caramel in it.
I'm still mesmerized.
Good sweetness. Super easy to drink.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget about the pumpkin. It's sweet pumpkin.
Sweet pumpkin. It's amazing.
And it's a light.
Hashtag.
Hey, thank you guys so much, as always, for listening. Hey, please do Trey a favor and review this podcast for us. Share it. Especially, wow. I got choked up.
Great intro, buddy.
I got choked up.
A great intro.
Especially if you know anybody that is doing detailing small time or on the side or wants to go more full time.
Because you're annoyed at your current job.
Yeah, either way. Like, if you know anybody that's that way, this is a great podcast to listen to.
This is the one.
Yeah, this is the one. Anyway, thanks as always for sharing and leaving comments. We love you guys. And go grab yourself a pumpkin head. Cheers, brothers. All right. Cheers. Enjoy the podcast. Let's get ourselves a little beer, huh?
Shipyard.
All right. Hey, welcome to the Pints and Polishing podcast. Yeah. This is Marty, Total Auto Solutions.
Yo, this is DJ, Eco Green.
And we have a fun little guest that stopped by to hang out.
Drum roll.
Oh, Trey Duvall, Pure One Mobile Detail.
Thanks, Trey. Appreciate way to pop in there.
Pure One Mobile Detail.
You don't even fucking remember your name. Nice. You want to side pour like
I was doing that for the
Instagram video.
You were not side pouring on Instagram, and you have a polish or pints podcast.
Right, it was for the effect of the rewind.
And I'm sure people were like, "Why the hell does this guy have a pints and polishing podcast?"
Probably
and does not know how to.
Yeah,
pour
they're
beer
probably right. Yeah, cheers,
cheers.
Hey, so we're drinking tonight, Shipyard. And that's the only really beer
oh
I know.
Oh, my God. So good.
It's called Pumpkinhead. It's my number two favorite pumpkin ale. Maybe a month ago or so, we had my favorite on. And that's from the Pike's Place Brewery called Harlot's Harvest. This I drink throughout the winter and will buy cases of it at a time and leave it in the garage to go back and get it.
What's your garage code? I think I have it somewhere. Yeah,
it's so good.
When you handed me the case early to put in the refrigerator, I kind of
you snagged a couple.
I got a little excited. I didn't though.
Well, that's not even a case. That was just 12. The other 12 are there, and the 24 pack is the case that I didn't bring.
Oh, the 24 is the case. You strategically did not bring in.
Yes. And I'll strategically not allow all those to leave either.
Oh, I know you will.
Mm. Yeah, no, I might help on that. This tastes like a – are we supposed to go into how it tastes yet?
No, we're not. You just roll right now, Trey.
That's pretty damn good.
Thanks, Trey.
He's going to rate it right now.
Yeah, he's going straight for the jugular. All good, Trey, man. We appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate the invite.
We thought it would be a good one for you to swing by and stop in because you are a young cat. How old?
22.
I'm 22. You've been detailing how long?
Professionally detailing, I guess I'd say. 3 years.
Thank you.
You've been professionally detailing for 3 years. Cool.
All right. Nice. Wow. Wait, what's this?
We have a special guest.
Why do you always stop in as a special guest? That's awesome. You want a beer?
Long time no see.
I gotta go pick up dinner.
What? He can wait.
What in the world does that have to do with grabbing a... Here, at least try it. Have you had Shipyard? Shipyard Pumpkinhead? It is. It's quite delicious. So this is Tiffany with Twisted Mullins.
She's been on a couple times, right?
You got that all backwards.
Well, Mullins twisted.
Mullins twisted.
You got it all twisted up. You got it all twisted up.
It's twisted up. What do you think of Shipyard?
Yeah, I have one.
Yeah, I figured.
All right, so been detailing for 3 years now. And the reason why I thought it'd be cool for you to come in and sit in on this is because we wanted to talk and take a moment to go backwards to when we first started our careers. Yeah, Tiffany, pull up a chair. And Stina, you stopped by too. So a lot of the DMs that we get are talking to detailers from around the country is, you know, there's definitely plenty that are full-blown detail, doing their own business, full-blown going into it. But there's a many of them that are either A, working for a dealership like you, but really wanting, I think, in the inside, you would rather be doing your own thing. I don't want to put words in your mouth. You
doing
tell me.
Doing my own thing or being with, like, a real detail shop.
Okay, so not necessarily. You don't have to be the owner. You just want to be working more in a
professional
detail
setting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Trey, doing detail now with your brother, doing detail with us. But I know there's times that I think there's a scratch in your head that, you know, what it would be like to be on your own. So we get that from DMs on different people from across the country. I didn't mean, did I put words in your mouth or does that?
You're just putting words in everyone's mouth today, Marty. Jeez.
Is that an itch?
Yeah, no, I mean.
I just want to clarify because I knew DJ was about to bitch slap me.
I was going
to
bitch slap you. Let him tell his story.
And so that's, we thought we would do an episode where, you know, DJ, of course, has been running a mobile detailing business now under his own name
8 years.
We started one together, and then I had started one before. And then even in the middle of all that, we've opened up, you know, different – we did that auto spa at the mall. We did the valet service at the Spirit Bank Event Center. Where we valeted cars and then cleaned them. And that was fun while we had, 66ers. It was like a D-League, but it was before it was called D-League. It was
a league underneath. It was the guys that didn't quite.
They didn't. They're trying to make it to the NBA.
Yeah.
And they would come into games. We would valet cars, and then we would clean their cars while they were doing it. So – between the two of us, we've had pretty decent amount of experience trying to, you know, trying or operating a detail shop or detail business. So we thought we could go back in the day, go break down if somebody wants to do a detail business, either in coming out of a dealership world, or maybe there's a lot of people that are detailing out of their garages and really would love to have their own shop. So what's some step-by-step things that they can do? And then what are some, stories, some experiences that we've had and wanted to take a moment to talk about that. So really, really great, Trey, that you came in. Tiffany, random stop by. Thanks for coming by.
Nothing wrong with the beer after work, right?
All right.
No, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so DJ, break down when – go back to you were working at Zud's. I had left. You were now managing the car wash with another guy named Thomas. And, you know, go back and talk about the frustration that you had and why you decided to leave the business and start your own. Because there's going to be people that are in the settings of, you know, they're working with somebody or working at a dealership or working at someplace and they want to start there. So what frustrated you enough to make you take the plunge?
I feel like a lot of us young guys, cause that back in the, that was when I was a lot younger, kind of feel like we know how the business should operate. So we get frustrated because there's ways we want to do the business and you can't necessarily do it because you're not the decision maker. You're not the one that's able to make those decisions and so forth. So I wouldn't call it working conditions, but just overall, just really wasn't happy. And also there's really no room for growth. So When I got the opportunity in the window to leave, I kind of just took that leap of faith and quit the job because I was making good money. I was, I don't know, was I 17, 18 years old at the time? And I was making a salary, which was unheard of for my age. Like,
yeah. By that time, yeah, you were 18, 19.
Yeah. Right? Okay. But making a good salary. I mean, I had a great schedule. Everything was good. It just really was no room for growth. And then just, you know, there's a lot of things you see in the company that you just, you kind of want to change or do differently or whatever. So when I had an opportunity to leave, I just kind of had to make that leap. It wasn't a, do I have enough money? Do I have all the supplies, the tools, the knowledge, anything? I just literally just quit. And yeah, that's, I had to jump. So, I mean.
But no, go back. Like, there was, you were, from my recollection, once again, I'm not trying to put
words this is like enough. nine years ago. So go ahead.
I remember you just constantly complaining about the owners.
For sure.
And having, and I remember going, yeah, y'all don't remember. You all didn't know how much of a buffer I was between.
Okay. So when you left, you, we got shit.
You got shit
all the time. Yeah. Like, we were just not, we were just a number. It was never enough. They didn't understand if there was something, what we do it this way. It's like, we can't do it that way because of this. Like, but they don't understand because one guy owned, you know, was a doctor, one was a lawyer, one owned a communications company. I don't know. Like, they didn't have that. They had great business knowledge, but not that business knowledge. And here we are at the ground level. We know what it takes to operate and make certain decisions, but we were kind of limited to what we can do. So just, it was a constant, especially me. I was young and immature, but I still had a good head on my shoulders, but still, like, I know it was tough to deal with as a kid or 18, 19 year old, but still they just didn't, nothing we said, it was kind of one another out the other ear. So, but yeah, that's definitely, yeah. I had a lot of confrontation with the owners there. They didn't like me too much towards the end of my time. Actually, when I quit, they let me go immediately. They gave me a check and said, all right, we'll see you.
So, yeah.
No 2 weeks.
But so, I mean, to put it in other people's perspective, it's the same story of frustrated in your job, can't take it anymore, no room for growth, you know, whatever it is that makes, but there was finally something that you just had enough. So for me, I was a little different, but similar. I was so frustrated because, so all my whole life, I grew up completely religious, completely in Southern Baptist world, where very conservative. You don't do certain things. If you do, you're going to go to hell. Like very, very, and, you know, lake of burning fire, the whole business. Like, a lot of fear and a lot of so very, very conservative. I went through school to go work for the church. And went down and did seminary, came back, and I was actually working for a church. And I had never really found my spot and was always so frustrated because I never felt like I could do kind of what I was felt like I was supposed to. I never could be me, in a sense. And the last job was no longer a go out and be around people. I became a secretary. So if, for those of you that might have a glimpse of me, picture me sitting in front of a computer all day long, answering phones and doing somebody's schedule.
I would love to see that. I see you in the office sometimes by yourself on your own business. And I was like, get me out of here.
Yeah. I don't even know how you ever worked one of those jobs.
Yeah. So 5 days a week, 8 to 5. Sitting in front of a computer. I was miserable.
That goes against your whole life. Yeah. Your whole being.
Hated life.
Timmy's with me. She's like, oh, I know. I hate to get fired from that job.
Yeah. And I was just complaining to a buddy about it, rightfully so. It just was unfulfilled. And I've joked about this before. He could have said, buy a sewing machine. I mean, he could have said anything, but he just so happened to say, hey, I've seen some guys washing cars. You could get a power washer and you could do like – pretty easy business to get into, in a sense. I went and got a $4,000 loan, and suddenly I was a mobile detailer. So,
okay, I mean, that's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, okay. I mean, there really wasn't anything that just like there wasn't like a a final, oh, I've taken you guys long enough. It was just, I was so unfulfilled with, I thought I could do more. And this just seemed like a pretty cool thing to do. And so I took that leap. When you took the leap, what was the first thing you did?
Supplies. Supplies. So I got all my supplies. I learned the waterless technique because that was a big key for me to be able to leave when I did, because I didn't have a power washer or the money to go buy a power washer. Because I was at a car wash, because everyone knows me for waterless, eco-friendly, but I was working the car wash. I didn't know that at all. It was not heard of at all. So I learned how to use a waterless wash because I had a 99 Ford Contour. I had a.
Well, it was because we.
Okay, so.
I kept talking to me.
So Marty called me one day and he said, "Hey, I've got this stuff you've got to come try. I've got to come to my house, try this out." I'm like, "Well, what is it?" He's like, "It's waterless car wash." I'm like,
what? And this is also 2009.
Yeah.
I think.
And I'm at the car. I'm like,
and right now it's 2018.
Yeah.
So it was way.
Oh,
way
I was just ahead. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
yeah.
I'm at a car wash right now. How are we? Like, how do you wash car with no water? All the dumb questions people ask that don't know about it, I ask those questions. And did I go to your house one day or one weekend or something? And we used it. And I was like, holy crap. Like, you can really, like,
yeah, we were just amazed. Like, the first times we used it, we just kept going,
what the hell?
Like, what?
It didn't make sense.
Yeah, it didn't make sense at all.
But visually and physically, it made sense. Once I learned how to do that, I was able to now jump out on my own, because I had a little four-door car. All I needed was a couple of bottles and some towels. Marty let me borrow a cold water extractor. And I just went to town. I had five clients that I kept from the actual car wash that used me on an every two-week basis. They paid probably $50, $60 every 2 weeks. So I was like broke. Like, I was flat broke. Moved back home with my parents for a while just to try to build the business up and get some more reoccurring, you know.
So first thing was finding a product.
Correct.
Well,
the cheapest way to do
it. It could also be finding which type of cleaning.
Sure.
Would be a good thing that somebody like, what fits their model better? Do they have a truck that they can put a
Now that people know that waterless is an option, it works, then yeah, now you have options. You can choose waterless, you can choose what is it, O&R?
Yeah, and then there's O&R. Have you used O&R?
Trey?
I guess not.
Have you guys pushed it my way?
No, we don't even.
Wow.
Right?
Well, the way he threw that back at us.
No, that's our fault.
That's our fault.
You guys are asking me.
Asking you if you used it.
Have you used O&R?
You've been detailing for 3 years.
No, I have not.
Okay, that's simple. Yes or no fucking question.
The two-bucket method, Tiffany, have you used it at all? Like, you got one solution bucket with your solution?
Yeah, it's called O&R. Well, yeah, you use O&R.
What's O&R? That's
That's the type of brand, and then O&R is the
When we sold you some ring clean, you asked if you could use it. Like O&R.
The two-bucket method, you have one 5 gallon.
Is that what it is? The two-bucket?
Yeah, one 5 gallon with your solution.
Yeah, same thing.
Oh,
yeah. You pour some into a bucket.
Yeah.
You
second
got a sponge or
I thought
a
O&R like rinse or whatever.
It is. They're the ones that kind of.
It's like Kleenex with tissue. Like, it's not really called Kleenex. Kleenex is the brand.
Right.
So is O&R. It's really called
Kleenex. But everybody just calls it Kleenex.
Yeah.
And that's how you've washed mini cars.
Oh, yeah. I actually enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially in the wintertime.
Right.
So there's basically three different ways. You could go traditional, you know, which is fun now with the foam cannon and all that stuff, or you could go waterless, or the newer is O&R. Rinseless, I think, is what it's
rinseless,
called.
Yeah.
Rinseless washing. That's the name for it.
Oh, okay.
So the first thing that somebody should do is pick what they're going to do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but I would say too, like, don't, like, because I got into later on, as you're trying to buy the most expensive or trial these different, get what works and what's going to get you through a few cars. And you don't agree?
Well, I'll jump in on here a little bit, because when I got introduced to you guys opened up a whole new sector, especially with the waterless stuff. I all the time will go back and forth, depending on the detail, we'll go back and forth between either a waterless or actual a soap bath wash. And I feel like it's nice to have both in your arsenal. For DJ's sake, he prides himself on being eco-friendly and not using water. So depending on how you're wanting to base your company off of is going to be how you pick that. But right. I feel like
that's what we're saying. Yeah. Figure out what method you want, and then you can find the right product.
Yeah.
Like if somebody has a truck, they could do. But if they don't have a truck,
that's what I'm saying.
You can literally buy a truck.
You can bootstrap it.
Yeah.
When you first strap, you can bootstrap. I ran an extension cord from this lady's nail salon to the middle of the parking lot to run power. It was the most embarrassing.
She's the best.
Lisa, she still uses us.
I used to have to go in through 4%. All the little chairs.
If you get 4%, I won't even get paid. so cheap.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on that one.
Sorry. I hope none of these clients listen to this podcast.
So for me, I went instead of we're talking 2002. I knew nothing there. I don't even know if waterless was around. The only way you could wash your car was to get a power washer or use a water hose, but that would take forever. So I think the next day, if not the next week, I mean, it was very soon after that talk with Chad Raber, who was the guy that told me, hey, you should go do this. I went and met, which is very interesting, this guy named Rick operated out of the VAP.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right down same road, literally four doors down and across the street from where we're at now.
Wow.
And he ran a pressure cleaning system, power washing and all that stuff. And I met with him, got some estimates, took those to the bank, told him what I wanted to do. And I somehow got a $4,000 loan to go buy the equipment and go buy the trailer. But I didn't have enough to get a tandem axle trailer. I only had enough to get a single axle trailer. So I had a 500-gallon water tank and all this with a single axle trailer.
That's just two wheels.
Yeah. Do not ever do that. I almost died one night coming back from a Sonic at 2 in the morning with a full tank of water, and I had a tire blowout. I really don't know how I didn't die. The truck just flew over.
500 gallons.
Yeah.
How many pounds?
I was yanking, slammed on my brakes. And I just remember the truck. I was on one side of the highway and then back to the other within seconds. And I was just all over the road. I really wondered how I didn't die that night. It was crazy. So do not ever get a single axle trailer. First mistake of many for me. That was definitely not fun. So anyway, once somebody's picked out what style they're going to do, what's the next step? What's the next thing that they should grab? I would say their main core chemicals, right?
Yeah, definitely your main core chemicals. Figure out what it is you're going to use. And definitely the best next step after figuring out what your model is going to be.
And you said don't go buy a bunch of stuff. However, at first you do need to kind of test and experiment with a couple different things, right?
Yes, definitely. But don't get caught up into dumping all your revenue into
the next
research thing. Yeah. Okay. So that's the thing with us new detailers is that you get so caught up in a degreaser there's a degreaser and then now there's a different one. There's a different one.
On soaps. Let's just take chemical guys. We're not going to shoot them.
But that's exactly what
I mean, that's let's just.
Dude, for a 19-year-old kid, that's a sexy company.
It is, but there's 10 different wash and wax soaps.
There's probably 12. There's,
then there's the other soaps, and then altogether they might have 30 or 35 different soaps.
You could dump a lot of money into trying to find products. If you find something that works, just use it and keep working on other sides of your business, and you can eventually go back and figure out better products or ways of doing things. Unless it's just straight proven that it's some badass product going to change your business and up your profit margins, sure, then knock yourself out. But yeah.
So Trey, have you experimented as you've gone around and as you've started doing more? Are you testing and trying different stuff how do you do it?
I mean, I love to test. I love to test chemicals. I feel like you should always test chemicals. But yes, you should. I'm gonna hand the baton back off on that one. I just lost my train of thought.
It's all right, man. Yeah. Cheers.
It's only one beer, Trey.
Hey,
nicely done. Now, Tiffany, you've jumped around. You've tested a bunch of different stuff.
Oh yes.
You Is that a common thing? You always want to test and play around with different things?
When the money isn't mine.
There you
go. Great point. So when the money's yours.
I have my set products.
And you don't deviate at all?
No.
Why is that?
Because I know what I can afford and what it works for me. And yeah.
Yeah.
I got my train of thought.
Oh, it's back.
I don't know.
Should we go?
Pass the baton.
Should we get back to him now?
I don't know.
This better be profound because you got
profound.
You got you got a bajillion listeners. Who knows how many you have listening to this right now, and they're gonna like hold on to your every word. So
no, I think it's always very interesting trying new products. I feel like people should always try new products. At least give them a shot. That's what one thing I liked about SEMA. I got to walk around and look at and hear about a whole
bunch of new stuff. Oh, you were in heaven, it seemed.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. But that's a good thing about being around you guys, because Mari's always pulling something out of his little rabbit butt.
His rabbit
butt. Hey, it's Paul.
What's up?
Hey.
Paul, what's going on?
Hey, not much. How
are you? Hey, Paul's our neighbor. Paul just happened to stop by a couple weeks ago or so. Hey, come on in, Paul.
I came over to show you all my new tap handle.
Your new tap handle, huh?
Whoa.
Oh.
Hello.
Hey. Get a picture of that. Paul, you brought a guest.
I did. I brought a guest. It's Travis.
What's up, Trav?
Oh, you know, just living the dream.
Paul, is this your favorite new tap handle?
It really is.
Where do you pull it down at?
I put that on to keep out horny
tip. Oh, it's under horny tip, is it?
Well, he keeps it in the bathroom, so it's not in the middle of a tap yet.
Oh, that's bad, bro.
That's delicious. All right, hey, Paul, we're drinking Shipyard Pumpkinhead. Please give us a shot. Oh, no, we want you to try it.
All right.
I want you to tell us what you think. You had Shipyard?
I don't think I've had the Pumpkinhead.
You want?
Oh, that's good. I like
sure.
It. Yeah, get your can. Trey didn't offer to get you one when he was up.
So wow.
You didn't even grab me one. You wouldn't got you and DJ two.
I named a restaurant after you. And this is how you
repay. That's it. He literally has a restaurant after you.
Wait.
He owns Trey's, yeah.
Oh, really? That's
funny. So his name's Trey.
Trey.
What's up, bro?
Travis owns local bar and grill here.
Good to meet you, too. Tiffany.
Tiffany.
Where's that?
Tiffany. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you as well.
Paul, we're talking while we drink the Shipyard. And so there'll be an interesting 2-minute segment from each of you. Since both of you are self-employed owners, give us a 2-minute. What gave you the drive to get out and start a company?
All right, I'll go first. Primarily, it was money. You know, I mean, you have to do something, right? And I had a gentleman that I admired a lot told me, he said, you know, you can make a good salary working for someone else. You can make a lot of money working for yourself. And so that's what I did.
All right. Yours was money. Total money.
Yeah. I mean, you have to do something, right?
Yeah. Travis?
Mine was kind of interesting because being in the restaurant industry, there's not really – the servers usually make more than the managers. So with where I was working at the time, I wanted, you know, more responsibility. I wanted to make more money. I wanted to eventually advance like anybody else does in any career. But I knew that – advancement in the restaurant industry comes with a pretty hefty pay cut usually. So I was like, well, I'll just jump over that and own my own, because that's really the only next step towards advancement unless you're trying to, you know, be in some type of corporate structure for the rest of your life in restaurants, which wasn't for me. So I still wanted to have the ability to do what I love, which was take care of people. But I wanted to see more of it and advance with kind of my own independence of owning my own restaurant.
So what was the first steps that you guys did? Very first things, if you can remember.
Well, I mean, Travis and I actually just started the company.
A couple
months ago together.
Nice.
You know, we came up with an idea. We tossed it off each other.
Is it for nudy women on tap handles?
No, but it's for nudy women at the warehouse.
Woo!
Yeah. Actually, it's not. But
nudy women toilet paper roll.
I'll tell you the story. We were out there. There was a car that pulled up. And, you know, so a friend of mine and I were out here. And the car pulls up. And we're like, what are they doing? And so I go over to see ask them, say, hey, do you need something or whatever? And so it's an Uber driver and three drunk gentlemen, and they said they're looking for an underground strip club that's supposed to be here, right around here. Have you guys ever heard of that?
I bet you it's the Mexican group a couple doors down. They host, you've seen them. I mean, they host some massive parties.
Really? Yeah, because they always have parties.
When I've driven by, they've got people in
literally
there
two doors
to
down.
Dance and do different things.
I'm dead serious.
Oh, yeah. They have some serious parties. And that was not a racist statement. Like, they're completely all Hispanic. It's a whole community of them that comes in, has these massive fiestas.
Yeah, it's a Hispanic convention.
Yeah.
Right.
It is.
I wonder if, because I said Mexican instead of Hispanic, so.
I didn't say it.
I was trying not to.
I can't wait to hear the comments on this podcast.
I was trying to be.
Is that shipyard getting to
you? No, it's the Oklahoma in me that I'm trying to be.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to be more professional.
I think Marty just had that underground strip club.
Yeah. So you're starting.
Well, what it is, right? You go to the back door.
So they're starting the counterpart, the underground male strip club. Hell yeah. Nice job, guys.
Yeah,
Trey will be right there.
Oh! Hey, Trey will be your stripper. He'll literally. Yeah.
That's, slow down. Yeah. Break, bro.
Cheap labor.
Cheap labor.
You got to start somewhere, man.
It's $100 in 5 minutes.
$100
in 5 minutes. What was the first things that you did? Like,
all right. So what we did is, we were sitting, having a cigar, glass of wine. We were talking. Came up with an idea. We thought, hey, that's marketable. We can do that. And so one of the first things that we did, we went to the state Secretary of State site, made sure that we had our name that we wanted, that it was available. We formed our LLC online.
Who'd you use?
To form the LLC? We formed it online ourselves. We've done that before. We have a little bit of experience. It's really easy to do. Then went ahead, did our... because you do your articles of organization online. We did our partnership agreement separately. We have all that paperwork done, got our logo done, and now we're working through the contracts for our customers, and we're finalizing those, and then we should be good to go.
Yes.
And I would think two to four weeks.
Cool.
Sweet.
Congrats. So that's, I'm glad you mentioned that because we haven't talked about that. So far, the first steps for detailers were to find which style they wanted to use, waterless or traditional or rinseless, then find some good products to use. My next step was going to say to go and just start getting some cars to clean. I remember reaching out to a girl that I was trying to date. And I cleaned her parents' car, and then it was just some other family and friends. And at that time, I was going to church, and so definitely. Then, as the word spread around, then some of these people found out that he was cleaning cars, and all of a sudden, I was getting some phone calls. So for me, that next step was just to get some revenue coming in, get some cars coming in. I think that was that similar. You kind of reached out to some friends after you got started.
That's the best bet is reach out to friends and family. You can do their cars you can even do someone's car in a parking lot somewhere just to pretend you're doing something for money and hope you can pass out cars to other people. So a lot of guerrilla marketing there, but yeah.
And we're talking first couple of weeks, not 6 months later.
No, definitely
like,
not.
Like if you're wanting to step out and go out on your own, I mean, these are the initial first steps. Get your ass out there and start getting some cars just from whoever you can. I think from anywhere in sales, right, Travis, your hanging fruit, the closest things you can grab are friends.
Yeah, naturally. I mean, people, especially in the entrepreneurial side, and you see this with a lot of Kickstarters and stuff like that, like a lot of companies that handle this type, one, I forget which one, but they came and spoke to us at the Dixie Metro Chamber luncheon. They basically won't even put you on their site to start getting other funds if you can't get 25 people that will support your idea. Because if you have an idea and your friends and family don't think it's going to work and they aren't willing to support, it ain't going to work.
Yeah. So the first customers, first clientele or whatever is anybody that's friends and family. I would then say that's when as detailers, then once you think that you've got some cars and you want to actually step it out as a business, that's the, like, the very next thing then is, yeah, each state has SOS.gov. So it's like Oklahoma.SOS.gov or something like that.
Right.
That's your Secretary of State. That's where you can go set up. I did at first a DBA. So you've got the LLC, which you mentioned.
Exactly.
For a lot of your service-based industries that are small, you can run your business under your Social Security number. And so it's, you know, your name, Trey Duvall, doing business as
Pure One.
Pure One. Oh, sorry. What do you mean doing business?
I don't know. I'm just whatever name.
So like, yeah. So like our DBA for Trey's Bar, our DBA is Trey's Bar and Grill. Sunday, Thursday, LLC is our LLC. But DBA, doing business as Trey's Bar and Grill. So yeah. You can use them each
day. And the key to having an LLC is, of course, the corporate protection.
Right. Yeah, like, so, and I was going into that. But So the premise of this is for like somebody that's working at a dealership or doing cars out of their garage. How do they grow into and the steps to run and have a business?
Right.
And so, yeah, DBA, I was told for the way we did things is when you're small, 10,000 a year, 20,000, like until you start getting up in revenue, stay as a DBA. But then definitely, I think it's somewhere around 50 to 60. Once you start hitting that ballpark was when I was told, and this was 12 years, 13, 14 years ago, that's when to start an LLC.
Right.
Now, I think anytime anybody starts, you almost always now go straight into an LLC.
You know, and there's two ways you can be taxed. You can be taxed as a partnership or an S-corp. And you make that election, you know, with the IRS. So, you know, you can do that. But the big key is, you know, your corporate protection. I mean, you know, if you end up messing up a, you know, some guy's paint job and, or, I mean, I don't know, something.
No, yeah.
I mean, you know, you just want that. And with a DBA, you know, I don't think that you get that.
No, DBA, so your liability falls on your Social Security.
Which is a sole proprietorship, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you have a house.
Well, it's not even a sole proprietorship. Because you can have an LLC that's a sole proprietorship.
Yeah.
The LLC is what protects you in case,
correct,
like those first couple of weeks when you're out cleaning a car, like, and something happens, they could come back, or you're driving down the road in a company vehicle, they could come back on your Social Security number. The LLC is what protects, it comes back onto the company instead of the
individual. Right. And you can have sole member LLCs or multi-member LLCs, and but you still have that corporate protection just like you would a C.
Yeah.
And so it's a, you know, it's, generally, it's
all right. Tiff's got to go. Before you go, tell us what you think of the beer.
I like rate
it for us. What'd you taste in it? What was that funny?
Because I just got off of work and it, all I really tasted was just like after work relief.
Relief.
So I tasted
long day at work.
Hints of pumpkin pie.
You're reading off the bottle. I don't taste the pumpkin pie. I taste caramel. I taste caramel.
I did taste the pumpkin, but it's a real light pumpkin, and yes, the caramel.
The caramel's so strong. Yeah. There's the spice. You can taste the nutmeg a little bit, but it's the caramel. I taste that caramel heavy. And that's what I love about it.
It stays there the most, but it literally tastes like the sweetest pumpkin pie I've ever ate before in my life.
Yeah,
it's like I can tell you're not even halfway. You're not having even started.
I don't know how long this.
It doesn't matter, bro. You just drink beer.
Drink beer.
And okay, why are you guys giving me from what to what?
He doesn't need another one. He doesn't have any
gun. I'm perfectly fine. I'm
Paul's trying to give away his beer. Paul, thanks for stopping by.
You bet. It's good to see you guys.
Tiffany, thank you for stopping by.
That's great.
A four.
Four.
Good job.
All right,
Travis. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Enjoy the beer. Thank you guys for stopping by.
Thank you.
We'll see
thanks for the input.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Good
to see you. Later, bro.
Good to see you.
You too, man.
Hey, Trey's 4-year anniversary is Saturday.
Oh, really?
Four years. We're going to have the OSU game at 2:30, OU game at 6:30. We're dropping a new menu. We're doing a tap takeover from 6 to 8 from Cabin Boys. Cabin Boys is going to come.
Oh, wow. I love Cabin Boys.
Put five of their beers on. They're giving away glassware. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, Saturday, Trey's Bar and Grill.
Sounds like a party.
All day.
Thanks, man.
See you guys.
All right, so if you were in Tulsa, go by Trey's Bar and Grill on Saturday.
I've got Friendsgiving on Saturday night.
You got Friendsgiving?
Yeah, when you're all your friends get together and get a bunch of wine and
Trey, food. Did you get invited? Not me. Fuck you, DJ. He's got Friendsgiving and we weren't invited. Damn.
He spent more time with you than anybody else.
Fuck.
Actually, I'm pretty sure I spent more time.
It's actually with my small group, so
really, you didn't say that. You said when friends get together, you invite them over.
0 to 100 and
well, because you said it was when your friends get together.
I didn't know I need to get specific about who the fuck I was hanging out with.
We didn't get invited and we didn't make the cut as friends. Hey Trey. It's okay, man.
Whatever.
It's all right, Trey. Maybe next year.
I've been holding that back. Yeah, this tastes
amazing. Isn't that unbelievable?
I was not expecting that.
Oh, that's why it's my second favorite.
It's a pale ale, which I wasn't expecting. It seemed a little.
Is that what the bottle says?
Yeah, it says it's a pale ale.
Nice. I wonder. So I've tried to clone this beer, and I wonder if that's why. Maybe I didn't use the right malt and the right stuff that creates a pale ale versus just a.
Was that first glass you had me on?
No, you haven't tried. I've tried. And the other reason why I think it didn't work, so the sweetness on this beer is really hard to match.
It's from the caramel, though.
Well.
It's like a sweet salt.
No, so in brewing, a lot of times that sweetness gets eaten, the sugars get eaten by the yeast.
Yeah.
And so you don't get it's hard to get a sweet beer until you put like flavoring in or something at the end. We tried to recreate it with lactose. Because lactose can be sweet, but it doesn't – the yeast don't eat it. So we tried to do it with lactose, and it kind of semi – but not like this. This is still
it's not
Harvest Harvest is my favorite just because it introduced me to pumpkins, and it's a great flavor.
That's the one you brought on last time. This is way – but you like it for a more sentimental reason.
It's so sentimental.
Yeah, for sure.
This is what I drink nonstop throughout the fall and winter.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
I could honestly drink – yeah. That's what I was going to say earlier. That 12 pack's going to be gone later.
Oh, it will?
Yeah, it's going to be gone.
Jeez. Huh.
Who's drinking it?
All right. So,
DJ.
So, we've set up, we've picked out what business model, we've now gone into cleaning a couple of cars. Paul had a great, suggestion. Then we get our LLC, we get our company stuff set up with the state, and we're ready to be legal. That is very important because at about that time, you also then need to get insurance, which we've had an insurance discussion and was beneficial for some good information. So go back and find that one and you can learn about garage keepers. And you can learn about all the stuff, which we talked about why you need garage keepers insurance. So we're not going to go into that. So DJ, when we've got that done, okay.
Which is funny because a lot of guys, even me then, that was not my first thought was going to set up an LLC at all. Like, but go ahead. I'm just saying like that's when all is done, you're right.
Well, no, feel free to argue with me.
I'm not arguing whatsoever. I just know that that's a necessity. When you first, that should be the first thing you do is go set your LLC up. Point blank. But when I was 19 years old, I had no clue that you had to go protect yourself to have a business.
So I didn't either, which is why I said I did a DBA. I'm just saying you should register with the state because
you should
if you're
going to
go try and get instead of saying, hey, I'm Trey Duvall,
absolutely,
and write a check, like you'll only be able to do so much with people. You could never go to a company because you don't have an actual DBA or a business
setup. Once you get established,
I think
people catch on to that. But for the new guy that doesn't know, definitely go get legit first before you.
And we're not talking thousands of dollars. You don't have to go
to
a lawyer.
It's $150.
Like you can go literally go to the SOS dot whatever your Secretary of State.
So easy.
But so let's go into marketing.
Yeah.
All right. So we set that up. Right, we're starting to clean some cars. We've cleaned our parents' car enough. Your sister and brother-in-law or, brother or whatever, like their cars are clean. You can't clean them anymore. How do we start getting our initial customers?
Hopefully, and it's 2019 or 18 now, so you're using social media. Hopefully, when you're cleaning your cousins, uncles, mom, dad, aunt, uncle's cars, you're taking videos, photos. I mean, you're literally, excuse my word, like whoring the shit out of it because like, that's that's your bread. I mean, that's going to get your next job. So if you're taking photos and videos and before and afters and educational videos and whatever else, when you're doing those free or low paying details, that's
what you use as
marketing well. Material yep. that you can use in the future. So with social media now, I mean, I don't want to say you're not going to succeed, but if you're not doing social media, there's a slim chance you're going to succeed.
Before you do social media, though, don't you need to get a logo?
Oh, I thought that was a – yeah.
We haven't gotten there yet,
okay,
though.
Sorry. Well, you can back all the way up to – oh, no. Don't back up.
You don't have to.
Don't back up.
No, this is the time.
Here's where we are. Yeah, because you're doing – honestly, you're doing – yeah. Exactly.
And
now
we're set up with the state.
I'm confident.
Now
I've got
the
state.
Logo.
I've got my products. I've got my systems.
Yes, you're right. They should still be documenting and all that. But I was just saying, hold on. We need to at some
back
point
up.
Have
yeah.
a logo involved.
So now you get a. And right now we got what's that Fiverr website? What's
yeah.
That,
Fiverr. Fiverr.com. Fiverr.
Depends on how
elaborate. Yeah.
I mean, you can get. You can literally start a business low cost. Like. You can start for what, $5 a logo up to $300 a logo on Fiverr. Or you hire a friend or a guy in high school that just does graphic design. Like, there's endless ways to do a logo. But, so logo, uniform.
And how many times have you changed your logo?
Oh, dude, twice.
That's fine.
Yeah.
At least you said, so the way I was going to say is, don't get hung up on your first logo.
Do not.
just get something out there.
I didn't put
it. Cheap.
I didn't put an email address on my first business card.
Yeah.
My website was ecogreenmobiledetailing.com. It's a mouthful. Like now it's EcoGreen Tulsa. Like,
so we can come. You can readdress it later. Just
get
some stuff put out.
That's it.
Like have some
as detailers
have some
too.
Shell
as detailers,
business.
We're very OCD.
I get it. That's why
so
I said
I'm
that.
I'm just gonna say that.
Yeah.
Like you. If you're like you're very OCD, you want everything down to a T, like just everything perfect. But just get it out there and move on to the next thing. You can. I'm constantly coming back to my business all the time and redoing things in my business.
We'll get better as you go.
Yeah. So and then
Trey,
dude,
man, look at this guy, 22
knowledge
years
bomb,
old.
Dude.
Wow, knowledge bomb.
No, you don't get better as you go.
You get better as you go.
Dude, quote that.
Nice job, Trey.
Dude, that was a badass.
Hashtag
quote.
Wait on Trey.
It'll get better as you
now,
go.
Hashtag you get better as you go.
What's Elena gonna be? Mobile tech. What are you gonna? What's your hashtag of me in Orlando?
Oh.
You're getting better as you go.
make it out of Florida.
Should we go out?
Hashtag. She's talking to girls tonight instead of dudes.
Oh, that'll be a change.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Okay, well, tell the story because we can't throw you on
yes.
the bus.
No.
Well, now I'm telling the story.
Dude,
so
I was
last
so happy
year,
for
Trey
like,
came.
Hell
yeah,
yeah. Trey, did you
where
sit
were
down
we? We were out somewhere and
I
we
was
met.
Back in Tulsa.
No, we went to Hooters, right?
No, was,
where did we meet? We
Twin
met
Peaks.
Some. Oh,
Twin,
Twin
Peaks.
Peaks. Okay, whatever. Hooters, blah, blah, blah. We met some chicks ish. You met, you talked to, whatever. I was exhausted. I think me and your dad just sit there all night, like, But
fuck these mules, right?
Yeah, it was stupid. But
Moscow mules.
But somehow you got a number, and we went back to the hotel or whatever that it wasn't a hotel.
Resort.
You guys
some resorts
suite,
or something we were at. Whatever that place.
Orlando's
was
always cool because they put you in these. They don't put you there, but the
stay is a resort,
yeah, yeah.
You know. And so Trey was like, okay, and he was talking to her, and like he took up. We were like, hell yeah, Trey, nicely done, bro. Way to go. And then in the morning, we wake up, and we have to go super early in the morning to go
to
the
airport.
And we're like, where the fuck is Trey? That motherfucker. Well, good for you, but we knew you would get over to her house, and your ass wouldn't be back over here. So we were pissed the fuck off. And we're finally like, listen, we're leaving. And I think we even tried to leave you voicemails. We tried to call you. And then all of a sudden, we're loading the car about to literally pull out and leave you at Orlando.
Did you guys have his bag in the car?
No.
You guys
they just left everything in there.
I got there.
And he was running across the parking lot.
That was a big-ass resort.
Well, he was trying to find out where he was. We were all calling him.
I ran across that
yeah,
whole
you were,
resort. That
and we come to find out he never hooked up with the girl. He ran into a bunch of dudes at the resort and stayed up all night talking to dudes at a bar.
Okay, so when I heard this story initially, I was just like, oh, hell yeah, Trey, like, nicely done.
Nicely
and then
done.
I heard this part of the story, I'm just like, what in the hell?
Yeah, you know what I say to that? Fuck Uber.
That's what I have to say. No, Uber denied my card. And it was like a $30 charge to drive. However the fuck far it was for this chick to whoever. And then she started playing. You know, I was like, well, fuck it. Anyways, I'm not going to drive all the way out there.
Hold on. And so then you skip a 30-minute drive to hang out dudes all night and almost miss your flight.
Either way.
I couldn't pay for it. I couldn't pay for it. And then there was free tequila getting handed out. Oh, okay. So, I mean.
So he had a legitimate reason. It's just you're at like 5 in the morning and he's running into the car. And we're like, well, was it at least worth it, motherfucker? And he's definitely. Like. I don't know. I met these pretty cool dudes, and we were like, "Wait, what?"
Oh my god! I'm so glad I missed that trip with you guys.
Yeah, that was a brutal ride to the airport. We barely made it onto that flight.
You want to talk about barely. What you saw on the way to the airport?
Oh, no, we don't have enough time.
That was Florida's crazy.
Yeah,
still gotta love it.
So speaking of mobile tech, I actually had a phone call today. We've been trying for now over a month to get our Pints and Polishing pint night that we did at SEMA at Mobile Tech. And we think that we are super close. We will get a official price on Friday. But we're now in discussions with management at the hotel that everybody's staying at. So we're looking at Friday night. I don't know the time yet, but this guy was super cool. He was like, even, hey, y'all basically just want a keg, don't you? I'll just see what I can do about getting you some kegs and have your own pour spouts and the whole patio's yours. Like, he was really trying to set us up proper. Like, so kudos. More information next week, but it looks like we might get to do a pint night at Mobile Tech in January.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother. Hell yeah, brother.
DJ in Las Vegas 101.
That's too funny. All right, so quickly as we're going to wind it down, let's rate the beer.
I mean, I'm going to 5.
Like, yeah, yeah. Like, it's a 5.
Is it 1 out of 5?
1 out of 5. I mean, it's super crushable, too. If you just needed to chug beer.
Yeah, you could chug
this. You could chug this like crazy.
So I said, it's not a, it doesn't sit heavy. It sits at all. Lot.
And then there's that sweetness on the aftertaste.
I'll definitely go. Like, I'll have to go with the 5. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like it's kind of hard.
Is this the first 5s all the way around?
Yeah,
it's hard. I think it'd be really hard for somebody not to. I think it'd be hard for somebody not to like this beer.
First 5s all the way around.
Definitely a 5.
5, 5, 5, 5, 5.
Shipyard. 5, 5, 5.
Even though
Pumpkinhead.
8 cans on the table.
I mean, guess.
Is
there more over there? No,
we got more in the fridge though. We definitely do. All right, so 5s all the way around. Super love the beer. Anybody that can grab Shipyard, highly recommend it. Let's recap. All right, we've started. We've branched out of whatever job or whatever we are doing because we really want to do something on our own. We've done some details. We've reached out to friends and family. Then we went and got situated with the state. We've now got some insurance because even though I know that's a hard thing to do at first, and getting a business name and getting some insurance, it solidifies you and gives you protection because especially like let's say you're in a big city and you're driving and you're in your company vehicle and you hit somebody, like it doesn't matter. I mean, there's all kinds of scenarios that you can do. Highly beneficial to get some insurance. We've created a logo that can be done very cheap. We have then began social media by just documenting. And just briefly, the point on documentation on social media is not showing off how amazing your reflection shots are.
It's education. Especially in the early, like right now.
Especially early.
I can get right now and post a bunch of like, ooh, look at this. Like, who? Like, But in the beginning is when it's crucial. Like, you can't be showing off to detailers. Like, you literally talk to the general public on what you can do as a business and why they should choose you. Literally, that's it. Right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, well, okay. Not why they should choose you. No, I would say why somebody should get a detail. Like, this lady had two kids in her back seat, and she had these tell the story.
Yeah.
She had these two kids. Here's where the carpet stains. And you do a before picture. Mm-hmm. You show some scrubbing with a video or something, and then you do a follow-up picture showing that you've cleaned it. That tells us, and then you know, maybe even a picture of the customer driving off, or, you know, or if the lady lets you take their picture, yeah. You know, whatever you can do to personalize it for the 500 other women that are 2 miles away, definitely in your facility, that have kids, how should they see and why should they want to?
Basically, you want to talk about how to retain that client too.
That's sure. That's way too far on out there. Way too far on out there. So I would say, closing it down, what would be your guidance to your 8 years in? You're looking back at your first year, all the struggles, the ups and downs. What would be your suggestion of, like, a Monday motivation type of deal? How do you get through, you know? I'll go, and then you maybe that may make sense. So I remember specifically times that I wrote a rent check for the month and gave it to my roommates. First of all, I didn't go try and rent a place by myself. I got roommates so that I could share some of my financial burden, because if I'm going to be out there only cleaning cars as my financial means of making money, I wanted to decrease the amount that I was spending every month. So I had roommates. I didn't go buy a big fancy truck, or I didn't go buy — this is what's crazy about guys that start detail businesses, and then 2 months later, they got a fucking brand new truck. And you're like, bro. Like, so I kept the same vehicle and I adapted. I didn't increase much of my expenses. Because in business, you're going to have ebbs and flows. Every business does. But especially if you're starting off small, you're riding waves. You know, you might for a couple of days get some cars, and then you don't have anybody for 2 days. And then you might get a couple, and then you might not. And depending on what general area you're at, you might have weather that affects that, or you might not. But here in Oklahoma, we definitely have weather that affects cleaning cars. And so you have a lot of ups and downs. And so you have to minimize your expenses, and you have to learn to ride the waves. You start making money, don't go spend it. Put some back so that when you're starting to go down, you have enough cushion. And that was hard for me. I mean, like I said, there was times I wrote a check, and here, all I knew is, here's my rent money. I didn't have money for food. I didn't have money for gas. All I had was, I knew that for the next 30 days, I had a place to sleep. Mm-hmm. It's just the way, I mean, a lot of us, that's the way it is. And so my suggestion, looking back, is that don't go spend a bunch of stupid money. Save it when you get, let's say you got a day where you get 3 or 4 cars. Okay. Don't all of a sudden go out to eat and go buy a bunch of this and that. Like, put it back, because you don't know what it's going to be like next week, and you need some cushion to go back and forth. That's my suggestion.
I mean, just hearing your suggestion, I'm like, naturally, I piggyback, because, I mean, with several team members and I've got a lot of expenses in this business, and I've got to start – you've got to put money back. I mean, that's definitely an important thing to do, because you never know when you're going to have 2 weeks of an ice storm for 2 weeks where – now you're like, oh crap, how am I going to pay my rent or mortgage or whatever? I don't know. Like, but if you're not putting money back and having a savings account or an emergency fund.
Yeah, I'll say emergency fund. It's hard to do a savings account.
An emergency fund is, yeah, that's what I was, a lot of Dave Ramsey there, but emergency fund, no, for real, like, Dave Ramsey's the shit. Having an emergency fund is definitely key, because it can float you through those times that are really, really tough and hard. You never know what's going to happen financially. So, you know, without money, you don't have a business. So I can't help but piggyback off that.
Nice. Cool. We've got a tab out time. It's winding down for the evening. And this is where, and Trey, we're going to let you do the honors. This is where you can ask any question, right? You've probably experienced it when you're at the bar at Orlando with a bunch of dudes and they're like, got to go. And you're like, hey, man, but blah, blah, blah. And you ask a question. Any random question. What is it?
What, to you guys or just to anybody?
In general. Here? Yeah.
To us.
To us. But yeah. Then anybody can leave comments too. You got to go quickly.
Quickly?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
You did put him on the spot.
I did.
You did. So this is for, I guess, like, other people listening, but how long did it really take you guys to find your Bare Essential products that you know?
Great question. Great question.
Like, truly, how long to where you guys where you guys are at now? How long did it take you to get there? So just so that way people.
Yeah. No, that's a great question. So how long does it take you to get 6 months? A couple months? Man, Bare Essential?
No, I'm talking about no. To like your essential had products where you can go out comfortably go check out stuff.
Your arsenal. Like when you find like that, like right now.
I don't know. I would say
because I know DJ's okay. been using the same stuff. For,
yeah, you got that.
How long did it take you though?
No, I mean literally like years. Because like we just now got Sonax Win.
But to your point though, you said don't go try a bunch of random shit.
But still,
you found what your core, and then every once in a while you'll try something and you might kick Sonax
right
came
now,
in and you kick.
I can take everything that I have in my arsenal and go to a job and do
so it took you years and years.
Multiple.
That's
years.
The answer.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Cool. All right, guys. Thank you, Trey, for coming. Trey Duvall, what's the DJ's DJ Patterson?
DJ
I'm
Patterson,
Marty at
Total
Auto Solutions.
Pure One Mobile Detailing.
All right, cool, man. Thanks. Have a great night.
Make it a great night.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.